I'd like to call this committee to order at this time. We're on the air. This meeting of the Health and Social Services Committee. Next is time for an afternoon prayer. I'm going to ask Speaker Walker to be so kind to render an afternoon Lenten prayer for
us. Glad to. Thank you, Chairman. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful spring weather that we've been enjoying and the rains, Lord. I always appreciate the change of seasons. Lord, I just ask that you be with us today as we listen to a presentation from some visitors. Lord, I just ask that you open our ears and minds and allow us to gain something from this, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you be with us as we kind of get into the back half of our session, Lord, and Lord, just help us make good decisions that benefit our people, Lord. All these things I ask in your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Speaker Walker. May I have a roll call, please, for our presence?
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Speaker Walker?
Here.
Congressman Mason?
Present. Declare that we do have a quorum. Members of the committee, if you'll review the minutes from last meeting, if there's any corrections, additions, deletions, please advise. Speaker Walker.
Page 2, top paragraph, it says recommendation FOT. That's needs to be changed to an R.
Okay, so noted, will be changed. Thank you.
Motion to approve as amended.
Motion's been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
I have a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, motion is approved. And the minutes are approved. Okay, members of the committee and our listening audience tuned in to us this afternoon to the Health and Social Services Committee. We have some time set aside for a very special presentation. Mr. Greg O'Donnell from the Guaranteed Lending Specialist is here to present to us, along with audience is Mr. Chris Walker, Candy Thomas, Dr. Ron Shaw, and Mr. Jason Zahn, who are from the executive on their side, as well as the health department. Dr. Shaw is with our clinic. And at this time, I'm going to turn this talk time and chair time over to Ms. Stabler, our congressional member, Paula Stabler. And Paula, you might enlighten our committee before we bring Mr. O'Donnell on why we have this presentation today.
Thank you, Chairman. We're moving forward in the plans for a new clinic. There's no drop-dead date set yet for this clinic, but we are moving forward with the planning to know what we're up against. And of course, we're talking about a large facility and a large cost for that facility. So one of the options that we have is to possibly finance the clinic through a USDA loan, which is a low-interest guaranteed loan. And so these gentlemen are coming just strictly as an educational piece to bring us up to date on what that means and how that works, so that when it comes time for us to do some appropriations, we'll have a better understanding. So I appreciate you all giving this time. And if Mr. O'Donnell Chairman, if others could come too, they might want to be part of the discussion.
Yes. So. Please, we'll entertain at this time the USDA Rural Development Community Facilities Loan Program presentation to this Osage Nation Congress, and Mr. Greg O'Donnell. I think I'm saying your name right. Is
O'Donnell.
It? O'Donnell?
O'Donnell.
Yep. Okay, O'Donnell is going to present to us. And again, in the audience, I said Mr. Chris Walker, Candy Thomas, Dr. Shaw, and Jason Zahn, along with members of this committee, are here. Sir, we have, and for those on a listening audience, we have until 2 o'clock, in which we need to get out of the way for the next committee meeting. So at this time, Mr. O'Donnell and Ms. Stabler, if I just kind of jumped in here and started jamming away here, so I'll come back and acknowledge Ms. Stabler, however you wish. If you want the others to please join us, you may. And if we're going to have any Q&A, same?
I'm sure there will be, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to get off the air, and you have it.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. O'Donnell.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of Congress. I appreciate the time to come up. My name is Greg O'Donnell. I am the founder of Guaranteed Lending Specialist. We're a small group. I'm located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've got partners, a couple partners, one on the East Coast and one down in Texas. We're the largest USDA guaranteed originators pretty much in the country. We have about, between the partners, we have about 40 years experience in the program. That's all we do is USDA guaranteed lending. And kind of that's kind of our background. What I want to talk about more than us is why would you consider the USDA Rural Development Community Facilities Program. And this program was set up by the Department of Agriculture years back to finance what they call essential community facilities. And this particular program is definitely one of those that qualify. Your health department, we've done a number of different projects like this. We just finished one not long ago for a children's hospital, a $30 million expansion for a children's hospital here in Oklahoma. Beautiful, beautiful project. But why USDA and why this community facility program? First of all, it would give you a lot longer amortization on a loan. Whatever the amount of the loan, on the land and building, we can go out as far as 40-year amortization with no balloons and no calls. What's that do? That allows a much smaller payment and improves your cash flow, okay? Interest rate, what we'll do in this particular, a project like yours, there's two programs within community facilities. There's a direct loan program and then there's a guaranteed loan program. We would probably do a half, 50% guaranteed, 50% direct. And what that would do for you basically is it would reduce overall cost of the loan, and it would give you a blended interest rate below market today. So this would be a subprime interest rate on the program. The next advantage to the tribe would be you can actually finance 100% of the cost. Sometimes I say you can finance 120% of the cost. And the reason for that is all your costs can be included in this program, including all your soft costs, all your costs, your loan costs, everything can be included in the program. Plus, if in the projections we're looking at some kind of a negative cash flow for the first couple years, or you're not getting a reimbursement for a couple months, all that can be built in and included. You could borrow the money to get through those periods. So literally, you can borrow more than the actual project cost, but that's real unusual to be able to borrow 100% of all project costs involved. And again, includes all soft costs, loan fees, and expenses. Key requirements, you know, the key in this particular case is the organization has to have the authority to borrow the money and obtain security to repay the loans, construct, operate, and maintain the proposed facility. Someone asked me earlier, you know, do you think we would qualify? Absolutely. You know, as long as the tribe can borrow money and repay money, that's the key element right there, okay? And some of the other key requirements, you know, the lender in this case is going to, they're going to want to look at it like any other similar loan. Does it cash flow? Does it, you know, is there enough support within the tribe to do this? And obviously with Chris Walker's help, we can see that that's the case, okay? We can see there's cash flow available, and we feel very, very strongly that that this project will qualify. The facilities must serve rural community. Obviously, that qualifies. There's no question there. This services rural type communities. And in this particular case, under the community facility program, that requirement is 20,000 population, okay, or less. Project must demonstrate substantial community support. Obviously, within the tribe, you can show that support. And then an environmental review must be completed and acceptable. Phase one environment, you've probably already had that done regarding on the property that you're talking about, but a phase one is required. Then the process, okay? From the standpoint of you know, if you were to choose us to help you through the process, we've got an engagement letter. We would do the initial underwriting and the feasibility study to make sure there's cash flow and where the cash is coming from and all those things that we would get assistance from Chris Walker on. And then we've got to find a bank, okay? And that sounds real easy and real simple, except it isn't. You'll see a copy of my book. Subtitle says, you know, 99% of bankers don't know anything about this program. And if they do, some banks don't want to deal with the government in these kinds of loans. That's okay. When I wrote the book, basically we wrote the book as an education for bankers. And you know, and so I can't tell you how many hundred books we've distributed to banks across the country as education. Now we've been able to accumulate and develop a network of banks throughout the country that understand the program and embrace the program, and in most cases, once they got into it, love the program. So that's one thing we do is we bring a bank in that understands the program and will work with it. Then there's a two-step process in the application. There is a pre-application that we prepare or is prepared again. And that pre-application is primarily, you know, they're going to look at the Constitution, they're going to look at all the things that you can and can't do and make sure from a legal standpoint you can borrow the money. And that's the main piece of, we'll call the pre-application. and then the USDA is going to review it, and they'll have attorneys review it and all this, and we'll get an approval to move forward. Then a complete application is prepared after that and then submitted to USDA. At that point, we know it qualifies, we know the tribe can borrow money and pay it back. We know all those things. Those things are eliminated, and they're just looking at the basic project itself. And then again, USDA, we work very closely with USDA to review the project. And get their approval, and then a loan closing. This is a different thing too. Typically on construction projects like this, you're gonna see a two-step loan, you're gonna see a construction loan, and then you're gonna see permanent loan. Luckily, in the USDA, we don't have to do that. Once we close, it's done. That loan is done, and we are going to estimate what the construction time is, and we're going to build all that in. All the interest during construction is going to be included in the would be included in the loan. Everything is going to be included. So literally, on projects like this, the tribe does not have to come out of pocket for any money during construction or during the construction period. So that's another huge advantage, we think, with the program. The when we did the Children's Hospital up in Oklahoma City with First Bethany Bank, that's another thing that is more of an advantage for the bank, but could be an advantage in selecting the right bank, okay? We worked with First National Bethany. This was a $30 million expansion of the Children's Hospital, and they're about $160 million total asset bank. That's pretty small, but they're two blocks down from the Children's Hospital, and they really wanted to do this as something for the community. But their legal lending limit was about $3 million, not $30 million. And the advantage to the banks in this particular case is they're going to get a guarantee, and only the unguaranteed part alone counts against the legal lending limit. So because of the guarantee, they were able to do the bank. They were able to keep it. They were able to do the bank side of the loan and keep it in the community and not have to go out to bigger banks. Again, that's what this program was designed for, smaller communities, smaller banks, and really, this was probably, if you've ever visited one of these children's hospitals, unbelievable. I mean, they are the most unbelievable group I've ever met that deal with the sickest of the sick kids in rural Oklahoma. So that's basically the process. If anybody's got any questions, please do not hesitate at all. Now, why would you pick Guaranteed Lending Specialist if you want to move forward with this program? One, as you can see, we wrote the book on it. We do have 40 years of experience with the program. My partner is what we call a recovering banker. He's on a 12-step program, and almost through. I'm a recovering CPA, so same kind of a program. And we've made a great team. We've probably done, last count, we've probably been involved in $650 million in projects across the country. So we've got a lot of experience in it. We know the ins and outs of the program very, very well. now, I've added a capability statement in there in the handout. Show you some experience, who our partners are, where they are, and a whole list of all the projects, healthcare related, that we've worked on. Okay? And then lastly, there's a list of references in there for us that you're welcome to call and check on us. Again, we'll find a bank. We have that network of bankers in the country, and we're very, very confident we can find the bank. Take care of this. And then we work with you all the way through the process. We work with you with the bank, we work with you with the USDA, we work with you hand in hand all the way through the process until it's actually completed construction and is done. And that's really what I have to talk about. If you've got any questions regarding the program, please don't hesitate. Chris Walker is here. Chris also has assisted us with a number of Native American projects throughout the country, and we're working on some now, one in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for the a chapter of the Navajo tribe. We're working on it, and it's an expansion of their health clinic there also. So very, very similar to what you're doing. Yes, ma'am?
Can you go over again the rate, the interest rate on them? You got one.
The interest rate's going to be, the way we, we the way we think we should structure it, half of the interest rate can be fixed at somewhere today.
I just think for you to, if you please just stay by the microphone so our listening audience, when you
okay, I'm sorry.
Out, they lose your presentation.
I apologize. I tend to wander. The half loan is going to be on a fixed rate, and that rate today, it varies quarterly. That rate today is about 4.5%, which is 1% below prime today. Prime rate today is 5.5%. And that would be fixed for the entire 40 years or however long that your desire to have this debt. Now, let me go back one step. Land and building, we can amortize over 40 years. Equipment, we can amortize over 15 years. But what we tend to do on every project is USDA will allow us to do a weighted average of land and building to equipment. And so most of our loans are going to be somewhere between, well, in this particular case, I would guess the loan's going to be in the 30 to 35 years for everything, for land, building, and equipment. Okay, but interest rate. Then the guaranteed part is with the bank. The other half of the loan is a guaranteed part within the bank. And it's going to be at a very, very favorable rate, probably in the maybe prime or prime plus a half today. And blended, though, those two rates blended together gives you a tremendous interest rate for the term of the project. Okay?
A question for Ms. Thomas, you might know. Have we had any other USDA loans on the currently going on or in the past 10 years? We have not.
Any other questions? Yes. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, my name is Brandy Lemon. And so I'm just kind of going through your paperwork here. Sorry. And have you worked with any facilities or any entities that go this route and then along the line they decide they would like to apply for some grants? Such as, and are they allowable, such as from the Health Resources Service Administration that funds, that completely funds the structuring of facilities and the soft cost and the, are you aware of anything like that, that they would be allowed to do that if they so chose to?
Oh, absolutely, they're allowed to, definitely. Okay, the one we're doing in Albuquerque right now, they've probably got, what was the total project, Chris? It was in the $7 million range. And they've gotten about $3 million in grants.
About $3 million, and 1.8 of it is the small ambulatory SAP grant from the Indian Health Service. So you're able to apply.
So to answer your question, you're able to apply other resources to the total project, and then your lending would be tied to the balance of those things. Now, small ambulatory, that was an award before they planned and got into this.
Sure.
So the other methodology that tribes are able to use is they don't desire to extend debt that long, so they may choose to have a shorter term, or there's the allowance that tribes with gaming or other resources are able to advance pay the debt down with no penalty.
Okay.
That is both to the guaranteed side and the bank side, correct?
On the bank side, there's typically there's some prepayment penalty in there, but it's a declining, for the first 5 years, it'd be declining 5%, 4%, 3%, 2%, 1%, 5% penalty. But
after 5 years, there's no
penalty. And after 5 years, penalty. There's none, but if you were to prepay anything, you would want to go ahead and prepay the direct loan. No penalty, and that's why we definitely think it's to your advantage to do some USDA direct and some guarantee. A lot of people would love 100% direct, but they just...
We need to get you on the microphone, sir.
Carry it around.
I should. But the reason we've done it, the reason we would recommend 50-50 is, number one, working with the USDA out of Washington, they don't want to do all their direct money. They want to use the pot of guaranteed money, which has not been being used as much on this particular project. In direct lending, the year we closed this, we probably ended up being over 50% of all the guaranteed loan money used in that year. So they really are trying to encourage us to use more and more guaranteed side of it too. So that's why the 50-50.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I'm just wondering what's the time frame when you decide to go down this road? Could you give us a ballpark?
Sure. The pre-application, and again, it depends a lot on the tribe and how quickly we can gather the information. If we had all the information, and we've got a list of what's needed, if we had all the information, we could complete the pre-application within a couple weeks. It's generally 30 to 45 days to get something back from USDA because it's going through their attorneys and it's going through the gamut to make sure that everything you qualify. We have found some tribes in their constitution that said they couldn't borrow money. Okay? And so, but that's what they'll be looking for. Can you borrow the money and can you repay the money? Okay? That's it. To do the full application would take about another 30 days for us on our side to complete the full application. And then give it about 60 days on the USDA side for approval. I don't know if you added all that up, but.
Thank you.
I have a question, sir. Are you the only company that gets USDA loans for other people? Are you the?
No, we're not the only company. There's I would guess in the whole country, there's probably 10. There's another one, a group that we really enjoy working with down in Louisiana, two gentlemen down there. And between the two of us, we're the largest. We flip back and forth of who's the largest, but it's between the two of us. And one background too, one other thing that my partner and I did, again, there's a group in believe it or not, they're headquartered in Stillwater, Oklahoma, called NAGL. National Association of Guaranteed Lenders. That is a huge organization, been around for a long time, but that is strictly for SBA lenders, okay? We, as the USDA lenders and group, did not have that. So what we did, Pat, my partner and I, about 6 years ago, we invited those banks that we knew were active in the program, which not a lot, you know, probably a dozen at the time, we invited them to Tulsa and we set up NRLA. We set up National Rural Lenders Association. I was executive director for the first 3 years, and then it just got overwhelming as a free executive director. So they hired somebody as executive director, and that's been a tremendous boost to our industry, an advocate in Washington, both with the USDA and with Congress. President's budget came out last year, and we looked, you know, hurriedly looked down the list, and USDA guaranteed lending program was zero. The administration decided we didn't need that anymore, okay? Well, the National Rural Lenders Association jumped in, And we got the necessary funding last year. Budget came out. President's budget came out about 2 weeks ago,
and we're fully funded. So we fought, they fought, and really worked hard on getting that done. So, you know, and we think, you know, we were right in the middle of all of that, and go to Washington with them on a regular basis. And but no, we're not the only ones. You know, again, we're probably one of the two largest in the country.
Okay, well, thank you for that answer. I know as we are looking forward to a new clinic, what we're going to do with a health facility up here on the campus, that this committee and health authority board that we have, Dr. Shaw and executive, and it's all a movement that we have at this point, beginning movements, to get a facility here. Of course, we've got to have funds to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, and to my knowledge, you know, I appreciate your presentation. I'm thinking that with our procurement and so forth, that I'm sure we'll be hearing other presentations or be aware of other companies that may be able to do the same. I don't know. That's what we do up here. It's part of our procedures. I want to thank you for that. Any members of the committee we have continue? Ms. Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just looking at the list of the capability statement here. Mm-hmm. And I, in the middle here, we see nursing home, assisted living, and Alzheimer's facilities. And then at the bottom, of course, is the tribal healthcare facilities that has received USDA guaranteed loans, correct?
Yes.
And facilities that have been either expanded or built. So are there any facilities that you have helped with or that you know of that are combined with the nursing home and assisted livings? Are they combined? Are they together or are they just are they separate?
Typically separate.
They are?
Yes. But they definitely qualify.
So they are separate. Yes. Okay. So that would be two separate USDA loans if you chose to do that?
No, it would be one. I mean, it could be one. It could be one. Now, the other advantage of the program is the fact that, now, I'm going to talk about the two programs that we work in, business and industry, and it's got limited dollars and guarantees, okay? As you go up in size, the guarantee starts dropping, and we're limited to $25 million. Okay, but that guarantee is only 60%. Okay, on the other side, on the guaranteed lending side, there's virtually no limit on the dollars. So, where we would break up a hospital, a for-profit hospital, an assisted living center over here, there's no reason to break it up on the community facility side. Okay, so it could be combined.
Thank you,
Ms. Stabler.
I just wanted to add to this. Like I said, we're working on the health board and leadership at the clinic are working on the final designs of a clinic right now. And so the initial cost that we received going into the project, we haven't received the cost at this end yet, but going into the project was $24 million, I think, $24 million. So we're not sure what it's going to come to at the end, but that's why we're looking at options of how we might put this together. And it's all about timing. It's how soon we want to get into this project. How soon do we want to build it? If we're going to save money to do it, then it's going to, you know, take some years out there to do it because it is a big project.
Speaker Walker.
You mentioned earlier the interest rate was about 4.5%. Is that a fixed rate, or is that based maybe like 1 point below prime?
No, well, that would be, it changes quarterly.
Okay.
But that would be the fixed rate for the term of the loan. Okay.
I was just curious. So the interest rate does fluctuate, or it can change quarterly.
Not in your loan.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
between now and then.
Yes.
Yes, it could.
What determines that?
Prime determines it, and they've got a calculation in there that includes the poverty level on those cities under 20,000 population. Okay.
Good enough. Thank you.
And I've never seen it, but that's what they tell me. That's how they start calculating that.
Mr. Tillman.
Mr. O'Donnell, thank you again for being here, sir. On the key requirements here, letter B talks about lender responsible for determining the credit quality, and I'm thinking that the lender is your pool of banks that you use.
It would be a bank. Yeah, we would probably pick a bank out of that group. Yeah.
So you shop our credit quality is going to, it'll be different from each lender, or are they consistent?
They'd be consistent.
They are consistent.
Yeah, they would be consistent.
Okay, so it also continues on, and it talks about the history and management capabilities. Can you speak to me just a little bit of what is the history?
Well, what have you run? You know, what your current clinic, what's involved in the current clinic, who's involved in the current clinic, management of the clinic. It's really looking at a part of that is feasibility. You know, do you have the management capability to continue to run the clinic as it is, okay, or as it will be expanded? That's all they're looking at. I've never seen anybody say, okay, no, you know, you don't have the right people. That's so far in the tribes we've worked in, that's never occurred.
Really?
No.
Mr. Walker.
And to elaborate on that, when you do your feasibility study, you're looking at what is the structure within the health system and what is its support if it's not an independent entity that's coming from the tribe, from what we would call the indirect costs of supporting legal procurement, HR, and these type of activities. So they have a consolidated understanding that this is an enterprise that has an operating health system that has management, but a tribe that affords other services to that, and there's actually I wouldn't call it an operating agreement, but there's an agreement between the health authority and the chief's office about what are the services they're purchasing from the tribe. It's very explicit, so it's a document that lenders would have a comfort factor to realize, you know, this is not just some mom and pop shop and they're seeking some lending because they are in a qualified area and they're a nonprofit. As the tribe system would be. But great question.
Thanks, Chris.
Dr. Shaw, please join us.
Thank you, Mr. O'Donnell. I'm excited that you're optimistic for us. And I don't take that as a guarantee, but you've done enough of those, and perhaps Mr. Walker is giving you a little bit of introductory information about how we're put together and perhaps a little bit in general about our cash flow through the clinic. But what gives you cause to be optimistic for us? I just want to hear a few details.
Well, mostly, again, I've been up for one other meeting. I've worked with Chris. I know the basics of your cash flow and your reimbursement. Living in Tulsa and being from Oklahoma, I continue to hear about management and how the tribe is run. And I feel very, very confident because of that, because of all those things. And the fact that, you know, of all the ones we've done, this project is probably as strong as any of them we've seen. And Chris and I have seen some bad ones, okay? He says interesting ones. I say bad ones. We've seen some bad ones. I mean, you know that you know the I'm trying to think of the one that is that was out in one that was built in the old fort. Where was that one?
It's Fort Washakie. It's the oldest existing IHS health center, and it's actually a converted cavalry fort built in the 1870s, 80s. We've toured that, and that is yet to be joint venture, that the tribes are still working through that process. So,
there's a management problem there. I mean, this was a joint venture between two tribes, and they just can't get together. And they've had the joint venture approval for
3 years, 4 years.
Three or 4 years, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and it didn't help probably when they were cleaning up down in the basement one time, they found a dead body, okay, that had been there for, they don't know how many years it had been there, okay? That probably didn't help anybody. Anyway, we've seen some different ones, okay? And again, my confidence level is very high because of all the background that Chris has provided to me, knowing the direction you're heading and really knowing the management of the tribe overall. I've got complete confidence in it. Now, from a technical standpoint, is there something in the Constitution or in there? You know, I haven't seen that. Okay, and that would be rare. Okay, if something like that.
So, medical equipment or furnishings for the building could be rolled over into the loan?
Yes.
Some or all of that would be
all
required?
All of 100%.
Okay. Is there any difficulty when the health facility is to be located on tribal trust or restricted land?
Typically not, no. Now, the loan obviously is to the tribe. There would be a limited waiver of sovereign immunity, which I've never seen exercised at all, but that would be the only thing, but no.
And then what type of collateral or its equivalent is normally used for the direct portion of the loan?
It will all be the same, and it's all a what we call a shared position on it, and it's land, building, and equipment. Okay, now, they can't take the land as security, but they can do a leasehold mortgage on the building and equipment. Okay, and that's basically everything from the ground up as collateral. Okay, and that's, you got to understand in this one, because they're loaning 120%, the collateral is not as important in these projects as they would be on a regular bank loan that you and I would go down and buy a tractor for. Okay?
Thank you. Members of the committee, any more questions? Ms. Lemon?
Just curious. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just curious, has anybody ever defaulted that you know of?
No. And in the last 5 or 6 years with my partner and I, we've originated a large number of these loans, and as of yet, we haven't seen a default, okay, in any of the loans we've originated in the last 5 or 6 years. He and I operated separately before that, but in the last 5 or 6 years, we've never seen one. And if there was one, now we did a community, we didn't do it, but there was a community facility hospital up in Missouri, and I think it was called Sweet Springs, Missouri, it's called I-70 Hospital. It was done under this program for the county. Brand new hospital built, financed, and they ran it into the ground, okay? It didn't go into, I'll say, default. They found an operator. They let the operator assume that debt, and they were not a not-for-profit. They worked. USDA is a small enough organization. They're not going to try to. They're not going to shut a hospital down, okay, or a clinic down. That's just not in their MO at all. So they work very, very hard to keep these things alive. And in that particular case, they went the extra mile to make sure the community had a hospital, period. Okay?
Chris, you got anything else?
Trouble.
Another thing that's attractive with USDA is they're about building capacity in communities where just a typical lender would not see the need to invest. And therefore, when you look at small communities like this, you typically would not see a $24 million enterprise of healthcare coming alongside it unless it is some type of governmental intended service to be unique to a population. The Indian Health Service is your partner. I know people at this table that I'm looking at understand the matrix of how IHS funds facilities and or funds operations at a site. And this last year, an appropriation occurred through the government called the Indian Healthcare Improvement Fund, something I've advocated since I ran the Cherokee Health System and learned how underfunded health systems in Oklahoma serving Indians really is. You took on, over 3 years ago, compacted a very underfunded healthcare delivery system. It really wasn't known what that percent was until this appropriation was fixing to come, and they had some work groups look at that, and new data came out. So last September 31st, you were, well, at the end of this last fiscal year, you, in all intended purposes, were only funded at 23% level need. IHS across the board is about 50. This single appropriation, and it's reoccurring, you don't have to apply for it, work for it ever again, it's coming to you. So that was, you were at 4.8 million-ish there. Our firm worked with you to compact the PRC, contract health funds, and broke up the Pawnee service area. That netted you $3.5 million. I'm not even talking about indirect costs that come on top of this. But that appropriation was only $72 million. The Osage Nation was the benefactor of $5.1 million, and a portion of that is shared with the program in Tulsa. So you have a reoccurring of another $4.8 million. There are not too many health systems like yours that tribes have gone from let the government run it, we're going to take it on, and you've grown from $5 million to another $3.5 million to another $5 million, and we've not even talked about the third-party recovery. So as an Indian healthcare operator in the past, I'm very positive about the opportunity as the USDA, looking at someone putting a loan package together, would be sensitive to what's occurring in these dynamics, because they realize your book of business, you're capitating yourself every day in 12,000 square feet. And when you're at, and I know it sounds large, but 65,000 square feet, and we did the long range plan several years ago, and we were about that amount of square footage to be as a complement to take care of all the variety of services that a health system serving Indians should be taken care of. So you're capitated by space, so you don't have the opportunity to bill for services because you don't have room for a doctor, a dentist, a mental health professional, and more, you know, your pharmacy does okay. And now the healthcare authority in Oklahoma now allows multiple opportunities of encounters. So if I'm a Medicaid patient, I saw the doctor today, and I saw the dentist today, and I saw a mental health practitioner today, and I walked out with one prescription, you now had about a $1,500 billing opportunity that day. That's what the USDA, when they look at market analysis, they think fee schedules. What's insurance pay? What's Medicaid pay on the private sector? You're not even in that ballpark. So you're financially positioned very well to, what I say, for the banker and for the USDA, you remove that risk. You're not deemed as riskful, but you're having the benefit, because of the structure of being a tribe, to receive this type of financing to expand your services. Thank you.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. On behalf of our Health and Social Services Committee, we appreciate your presence here and your presentation. It is so noted, let you know that.
Thank you very much.
And, members of the committee, Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn at this time.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those opposed say curses. Thank you, Paula. Got them all lined up.
Thank you all.
And the only other thing to realize is that you can't use federal dollars to build this building.